Welcome to Faith and Freedom. We hope to inform, inspire, and encourage you to stand up for faith and freedom as we discuss victories and challenges in the courts, in public policy, and in the culture. Faith and Freedom is brought to you by Liberty Counsel, a litigation, education, and policy organization. Join us now as we address the latest cultural issues across America and around the world.
Religious freedom victory for Iowa Church. We're going to be talking about this issue on Faith and Freedom. I'm Matt Staver, founder and chairman of Liberty Counsel. Joining me is Holly Mead.
You know, Matt, this is another example when a Christian, and this example was a church pastor, speaks out against the sexualization of children and what's going on with the LGBT agenda and how they're trying to push that on children. When he chooses to speak out against that, which he should, then others come against him and threaten him as a result.
And they threaten to have the church's tax-exempt status revoked.
Right.
I mean, that's unbelievable. But an Iowa administrative law judge recently rejected a frivolous petition from a group of Iowa taxpayers to revoke the tax-exempt status of two properties owned by Calvary Chapel, Iowa, which included a home provided to the church's pastor. Liberty Counsel, in partnership with the Kirkwood Institute, defended Calvary Chapel, Iowa, securing the judge's dismissal of the petition that keeps the church's tax exemption in place. The judge said Iowa's recently enacted Religious Freedom Restoration Act, or RFRA, protects the church from having to prove its tax exemption entitlements to individuals who are not involved in enforcing the state law. So it's a great decision.
You know, and this is exactly what the enemy wants to do, is to keep Christians quiet and threaten them if they speak out against, basically it's sin and what you're talking about, what's happening to children and pushing this LGBT agenda, drag queen story hours, and other nonsense. And this particular pastor, he also endorsed school board candidates on his personal social media. So the enemy wants to come after you and scare you into muzzling you into being quiet. But thankfully, this pastor did not.
That's right. In October of 2023, the church's pastor spoke out publicly against the sexualization of children, held a book reading of Jesus and My Gender in response to a drag queen story time, and endorsed school board candidates on his personal social media. Then in November, several Iowa taxpayers petitioned against the church's tax exemptions. One of the petitioners is Dustin Brooks of Marion, and he serves as a local diversity and equity committee and is committee chairman for the school board candidate the pastor did not support.
Uh-oh.
So Brooks essentially stated that the church getting involved in politics while not paying taxes has lit his fire a little bit.
A little bit.
Well, it could light his fire all he wants to. But the fact is the church is entitled to tax-exempt status, and the church and the pastor are entitled to be able to speak out, particularly the pastor, as the pastor did in this case. He's speaking out against the sexualization of children.
Mm-hmm.
And he read a book, Jesus and My Gender, to be a response to a so-called drag queen story time. And then he endorsed personally, not the church, but personally endorsed a school board candidate that was in opposition to this other candidate who was the liberal. And as a result, they come after him and they say, oh, the church's tax-exempt status needs to be revoked. So we got involved. We filed a brief.
Mm-hmm.
It was at the administrative law position or level. And correctly, I should say, the Iowa administrative law judge did the right thing.
Yeah.
But the Iowa administrative law judge not only did the right thing, but he used the right law. And we briefed this particular law, and that is the Iowa Religious Freedom Restoration Act.
Yeah, that's a rather new law for Iowa, I believe.
Yeah, it is. So the retaliatory and baseless petition that literally sought to revoke the property tax exemption for which Calvary Chapel, Iowa is the owner of record of a recently constructed home where the pastor and his wife and three children reside, and a portion of the church's campus in Cedar Rapids, Iowa, used for a Christian daycare and school. They argued that these properties were not being used solely for religious purposes because the pastor's family are non-ecclesiastical personnel residing in the home, and due to the daycare, taking in revenue.
And the judge agreed that this whole petition was frivolous. And in his brief, he wrote, Calvary Chapel has a fundamental First Amendment right to engage in protected speech. In short, the petitioners want the church to, quote, sit down and shut up, making their play against the church and its pastor by going after property tax exemptions that were appropriately recognized by the relevant authorities.
Yeah, and our brief in the case said in part, Calvary Chapel has a fundamental First Amendment right to engage in protected speech. In short, the petitioners want the church to sit down and shut up, as you mentioned, making their play against the church and its pastor by going after their property tax exemption. That's exactly what they want to do. They want to intimidate this pastor. Now, if this pastor and church had to pay for private legal counsel, it would have cost them tens and tens and tens of thousands and could even be a couple hundred thousand dollars. And that alone, winning, is losing because they would have to divert their resources to defending themselves, and then what would happen? That would send a chilling effect to pastors and churches. Oh, we don't want to speak out on anything because if we do, we're going to get this lawsuit.
Right, it'll divert from their mission of sharing the gospel and bringing people to the Lord as a result.
Yeah, that's right. And so according to Iowa's RFRA, the state cannot substantially burden the exercise of religion without a compelling interest of the highest order. So our brief argued that the petition cannot survive Iowa's RFRA law because these challenges could potentially chill expression and hamper the church's ability to exercise its religious functions for its members. The administrative law judge, Jonathan Gallagher, did agree with that and says that this kind of litigation would indeed impose a substantial burden on the exercise of religion, especially when the church's when the state's Department of Revenue already enforces tax laws and they don't have an issue. So he said, you know, to otherwise hold would be to allow the unaccountable political opponents of a church the option to use the power of the state to target and or retaliate against a religious organization for the organization's activities, thereby creating a chilling effect not only on that specific religious group, but also on all other similarly oriented religious organizations. I think that's very key. It wouldn't just silence this group, this church, but all other organizations as well.
Right. And in this case, it's so important that pastors know their religious freedom laws in order to be able to speak. And again, we talk about this a lot with other issues that are quote unquote political that are actually biblical. They need to know they have the freedom to speak on these issues and make a difference in culture by doing so.
Yeah, the judge goes on to say this is precisely the type of religious interference that RFRA was designed to prevent. And until the judiciary provides different guidance on the scope of RFRA, this case must be dismissed. Now, the petitioners still have some time to appeal the judge's decision before it becomes final. Whatever happens, we will stand by this church. We will not allow anyone to intimidate this pastor or this church or any other pastor or church into silence for speaking on biblical issues. And by the way, you know, I have a video that I have done, particularly for the state initiatives, but it applies to any policy decision, policy statement with regards to legislation, local, state, or federal, and also with regards to political intervention involving candidates. And the conclusion is that no church, not one, has ever lost its tax-exempt status for lobbying that is taking a position on local, state, or national law, including voter initiatives, or a political candidate.
So don't let the enemy muzzle you into silence.
Absolutely. In fact, that's how we end, is exchange the muzzle with a megaphone. So exchange the muzzle with a megaphone and go out there and speak. Speak in season, out of season. Educate your people. I am very pleased to see, particularly in some states, Florida, I'm very familiar with what's going on there with regards to Amendment 4 and other states as well, but I'm very pleased to see some pastors on Amendment 4, the abortion amendment that's on the ballot, really speaking up and digging down to the real core issues of abortion in their churches. Some pastors are doing a phenomenal job. And I know other pastors Cornerstone up in Virginia. Phenomenal pastor there doing a great job. A great message he just gave on voting and the biblical duty to vote biblical values.
Jack Hibbs in California.
Those
are outstanding pastors.
Great pastors speaking out on this. And I think hopefully that encourages other pastors to speak out.
Yes.
And I encourage you, this is not a time to be silent.
Right.
This is a time to stand up, particularly on the issue of life, but also on freedom of religion, but particularly on the issue of life. We cannot be silent at such a time as this. It's a very critical time. Speak out, and you have the freedom to do so. For more information, visit Liberty Counsel's website, lc.org. That's lc.org.
You've been listening to Faith and Freedom, brought to you by Liberty Counsel. We hope that we have motivated you to stand up for your faith, family, and freedom. Get informed and get involved today. Visit Liberty Counsel's website at lc.org. where you can obtain email alerts and other information to keep you informed and involved. The website again, lc.org.